the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Those words of Malachi are the last words recorded in the Old Testament. They mix the first coming of Christ at Christmas with the second coming of Christ at the last day. So there is talk of a day burning like an oven, a clear reference to the last day when our Lord returns. And at the same time, there is talk of the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in its wings. Certainly recalls to our mind Easter when our Lord rose, bringing healing, life, and salvation to all the world as the first of a new creation. There is talk of all the arrogant and evildoers being like stubble. And yet at the same time, there is the mention of John the Baptizer. Old Testament prophecy does not always clearly lay out the chronology as we would like. In fact, it rarely does. 2,000 years have now passed since the days of John the Baptist, and that great and awesome day that Malachi spoke about still has not yet been completed. To us, Christmas and the final judgment are as distant as the East is from the West. Chronologically, millennia have spanned by, but they are not as detached as we might think. For what Christ accomplished by his first coming, specifically by his cross, is finally revealed at his second coming. On Calvary, he destroyed all of his enemies. On Calvary, he made sure that all of his enemies would be reduced to stubble when he returns. Satan is chief among those. He has been crushed. And yet when Satan saw the Son of God becoming the Son of Man at Christmas, he knew that all men must die. So he knew that this Son of God, now man, must also die. So joyfully, gleefully, he led Christ to the cross, drove him to that cross. And there Christ did exactly what Satan expected him to do. He died. But what Satan could not fathom is the resurrection of the dead, for no man raises himself from death. And his death proves that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, who all that he taught is true, and all that he accomplished by his cross, he has accomplished. So it was Satan himself who was killed on that day, his head crushed, not by the foot of the divine, but by the foot of man. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. For on Calvary, he remained our substitute, atoning for our sins with his own blood. He gives forgiveness to men. Life and salvation flow from him and what he has accomplished. And this is not just for a small handful of people, but for anyone who has ever lived, anyone who has ever had life. All sins were paid for. None are excluded or left out. No one should ever have to suffer that fiery judgment or be consigned to hell and destruction. For Christ himself was cast into that blazing oven so that all might walk out with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with hair not singed, garments not harmed, and no smell of fire, smoke, death, or destruction on them. For Christ is their Savior. But sadly, many are arrogant, and many others are evildoers. These are two subsets, subcategories of unbelievers. The evildoers are quite self-explanatory. They are immoral. Outwardly, they live immoral lives. They may harm others by what they do, or they may only harm themselves. Society may approve of them or disapprove. Either way, they are the evildoers. The arrogant are those who are arrogant before God. They may very well be kind and loving and humble and selfless toward us, but not toward God. They place themselves equal, in fact, probably above Jesus. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and they respond, I will find my own way. My choice, my decision, the way that I want to get to heaven is just as good as your way, just as salvific as your cross. Their way is built on works, their kindness, their love, their selflessness. Their truth is they've done the best that they can, and they deserve God's an eternal place in heaven. And so their sin is chiefly against the first commandment. They rob God of his glory and steal his divine honor from him and apply it to themselves. God groups those arrogant with the evildoers. In his mind, they are one and the same. All will be reduced to stubble. All will be reduced to stubble by his cross. For his cross is the only way of life and salvation. The works that they have done, the kindness that they have shown is nothing. They thought they did something great, but God says it is nothing. And if they do not repent, they will fall headlong with the devil into hell itself. But those who fear the Lord will be saved. The fear of the Lord is an Old Testament phrase that means those who believe and then live in accordance to their faith. It includes both justification and sanctification, faith and works. Our Lord took man's place to set him free. And those that cling to him in faith and then live in accordance with that faith fear the Lord. And so the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in its wings on that third day to bestow life, forgiveness, peace, and hope on you. There is healing in him. You do not have to wait until the last day to be healed. You are right now. You have it right now, though you do not see it. God dwells in you right now, though you may not feel it. You are his holy people, righteous, sanctified before him, even though you do not perfectly live it right now. And so God continues to pour out those healing rays of forgiveness on you through his word and sacrament. He doesn't leave you to your own devices. He doesn't encourage you and then walk away, leaving you to your own strength, for he knows how quickly we would fall. But he continues to make his face shine on us so that we might have a peace that surpasses all human understanding. He is our strength, our fortress, our rock, and our deliverer. He won it all by his cross, and he gives it all to us in word and sacrament. And so his cross is both the destruction of the wicked and the salvation of those who believe. Thus, the last day is the destruction and the salvation. The only difference between what happened on Calvary and on the last day is on the last day it will finally be revealed what Christ accomplished on Calvary. All will see it and all will confess him, whether willingly or unwillingly. Nothing new will be taught. Nothing new will even be given. But you will finally see all that Christ has done for you and has freely bestowed on you. His enemies are waiting for a great battle to happen. They still fight against his body, the church. They call it the great day of Armageddon. But the problem is, they've already missed the battle. Christ already fought on Calvary, and he won. So no more fighting for him. No more miracles for him. No more labor. It was all completed at Calvary, and now freely offered in his means of grace. So the only question left is this: will you remain among those who fear the Lord, or fall into arrogance? I do not fear falling into evil as much as I do falling into arrogance, both for myself and for you. I know how prideful the fallen flesh is. We must daily struggle against it. Daily we must die to it, lest it cut us off from the cross of Christ. So let us die to sin each and every day through repentance. And that is why St. John the Baptist came, baptizing and preaching in the spirit and power of Elijah. He is the one who boils down all the Old Testament to focus it on Christ and declare, "Behold the Lamb of God." He is the greatest among men, as Jesus calls him, because he summarizes the whole Old Testament, both law and gospel, both judgment and the promises of God, with the simple phrase, "Repent." for the kingdom of heaven is near. He is the greatest among all men because we still need to hear his voice today, lest our own wicked and evil hearts turn us toward arrogance. And yet in Christ we are washed and we are saved. In Christ we already possess the fullness of Calvary, so we already possess the fullness of the last day. You stand ready. Christ's blood is your royal robe that grants you access into heaven right now in his Holy Supper. Here you commune with God. All his resurrection assures you of is yours through faith. And on the last day, it will finally be revealed. John stands as a great watchman for us, crying out to us who live in the desert of this world. Repent. Turn to Christ in faith, he says, for his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Fear God. Believe in him and walk in his ways. Remember the commandments that he gave to Moses, the law, the Ten Commandments that you have learned and studied. This is the way of godliness. Walk in them. And yet we continue to pray, thy kingdom come. For God must come to us, we cannot go to him. Come now and do not delay. Do not wait, O Lord, but come and be our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Fortress. Remove our sins and atone for us for your own mercy's sake. Remembrance of that day should lead us away from laziness and apathy. Remembrance of Christ's cross should remove any apathy or laziness, and remembrance of that last day should do the same. For our deliverance, our redemption, our salvation is not our personal possession, but it is a gift from God that was finished on Calvary and will be revealed at the last day, and right now is given in word and sacrament. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.